While 19% of Canadians say it's important in their life to belong to a religious institution, only 9% go to church, and less than 10% believe in a biblical God. It's Faith Factor. Wind up your mind, because the cultural war is on.
Faith Factor.
Conflict.
Bible.
Reality. Faith Factor.
It's time to take a hard look at culture and reality. The cultural war is on.
Faith Factor.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are. Rod Hembry here. It's Faith Factor. We're looking at some very interesting trends in the Canadian scene. Canada is a little bit different from the U.S. in that it is more Western European by many respects, and we'll be talking about that, focusing a little bit today on the country of Canada. Even though we air all over the world with this radio program, it brings us to some very interesting questions and points about who God really is. 9% of Canadians are atheists, 66% say they believe in God, but those who believe in God certainly do not believe in the God of the Bible. And of course, the question is, why should they? Is there any reason to believe in the God of the Bible? Or is it good enough just to believe in a supreme being somewhere out there who loves his creation and, although may not be involved in it, wants us to do right? Well, we'll be talking about the absolute fallacy and the suicidal part of that philosophy. Coming up on Faith Factor, stay there. I'm Rod Hembry.
It's time to take a hard look at culture and reality. The cultural war is on.
Faith Factor is a radio program brought to you by the Quick Study Television Ministry. The Quick Study Television program can be seen every day on Vision TV at 10 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, or on CJIL, the Miracle Channel, if you have satellite, at 6:30 in the morning and also 6 p.m. in the evening. That's Eastern Standard Time. If you're listening in the United States or Europe, we are on in the United States a number of stations. Check your local listings. If you're listening in Europe, we are on the God Channel and also Hotbird 5. Join us for Quick Study as we go through the Bible in 1 year. For audio copies of this program, you can write to us. If you would like an audio cassette tape of today's program, we'll give you the address at the beginning. We'll also give it again at the end of the program. But for now, just to keep it in your mind, you can write to Quick Study Radio, P.O. Box 456, Orangeville, Ontario, L9W5G2. And when you write, send a gift of $5 or more for an audio cassette copy of this program. Again, if you would like an audio cassette copy of this program, we'll give the address at the end of the program as well. We don't want to interrupt the content as we get into the program, so we thought we'd do it up front. You can send a gift of $5 or more to Quick Study Radio, P.O. Box 456, Orangeville, Ontario, L9W5G2. The address, Quick Study Radio, P.O. Box 456, Orangeville, Ontario, L9W5G2. We'll be back with more from Faith Factor. The cultural war continues in just a moment.
There's no money.
I hate my job.
I can't take it.
I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly.
This is an accident.
I want a divorce.
Please see a doctor.
It's cancer.
Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest.
Discover life's answer in the Bible. This message has been brought to you by FamilyNet and your Southern Baptist friends.
This is Faith Factor. I'm Rod Hembry. I'd like to thank FamilyNet, Southern Baptist Missions Board, for being a part of Faith Factor as we challenge the faith of people today. And a sponsor of our local radio station, as well as the Good Friends Radio Network, heard on www.thestreamtv.com. Thank you, FamilyNet, for being a part of that. course, you, the listener, are really the main sponsor of this program. This is a program that is listener-supported, so we depend on the faithful contributions of people who appreciate the program to stay on the station and keep things going. And that happens as they pray. So I challenge you today that pray and ask whether God would have you become a part of this radio ministry. And whatever God speaks to your heart, yeah, that's fine with us. No problem. Hey, let's talk about the culture of knowledge today and where it's taken us. The culture of knowledge today, as we begin to focus on who is God, the concept of God, how it's changed over the years. Just a few minutes we're going to spend on this. Then we're going to get into the whole idea of the nature of God. 70% of all scientists in history are alive today. Today, more than 40,000 science journals are printed regularly. Can you believe that? More than 40,000 regular science journals are printed on a monthly basis. That's amazing. University graduates have increased in the last 50 years by more than 700%. And 75% of all medicines used in today's world have been developed in this century. Now that's amazing. And where has it taken us? Well, I'd like to quote from John Horgan's book, The End of Science, page 5. We talk about science, we talk about knowledge. We're talking about how knowledge and science has impacted theology, which is religion, philosophy, and science. How has it impacted that? Philosophy, of course, represents human reason, science represents human knowledge, and theology represents the human study of God. I stress human study of God. John Horgan says it this way in The End of Science, his book, quote, "It has become a truism by now that scientists are not mere knowledge machines. Scientists are guided by emotion and intuition as well as by cold reason and calculation," close quote. John Horgan, The End of Science, page 5. So again, the question comes as to how far has the knowledge that we have acquired, how far has the reason that we have developed taken us? Well, put a pause in it there and let's move forward to a recent study done by Time magazine. I want to focus in on the country of Canada. Now, the country of Canada is different, very different than the United States, and it's still very different than Western Europe, although it is moving in the direction, certainly politically and socially, of Western Europe. Nevertheless, it is unique in that it shares the same continent as the American people and the American nation. I'm not going to make a lot of comments about the American nation. I happen to be a dual citizen. I'm a citizen of both Canada and the United States of America. So I can maybe speak to these issues. I've lived in 15 different states, and I've lived most of my life in Canada, half my life in the U.S., and a little more than half in Canada. But less than 9% of Canadians go to church. They have to, they've removed the biblical God from their lives. Less than 9% of Canadians go to church. Only 19% of Canadians said it was important to belong to traditional religious groups. Now, this is down more than 30% from 40 years ago. In a recent Time magazine study in Time Canada, the article was called "A Nation at Prayer," highlighted that while only 9% of Canadians are atheists, 66% who say they believe in God certainly do not believe in the God of the Bible. So what we have is a more spiritual Canada, but certainly a less biblical Canada. When asked how to explore their faith, Canadians have their own way of doing it, and it's anything but traditional. For example, 90% of Canadians, according to the Time Vision TV poll, said the way to explore your faith and get on the good side of God is to do deeds. 90% said doing a good deed will get you on the good side of the nebulous force of do-gooders. Whatever the nebulous force is, I'm not sure, but whatever it is, they say that gets you on the good side. 84% said you can find this nebulous God, this God of the force, that, you know, may the force be with you, this high-end sort of center of the universe. 84% said you could find that by simply experiencing nature. Well, I have news for you. I was out the other day here in Canada. It was minus 27. I didn't experience much of God there, I'll tell you that much. Well, 81% of Canadians said that silently reflecting and listening to the thoughts in your mind, this is how you find God. 66% of Canadians said you find God by praying, although what you pray to, they're not sure. 55% said you find God by going to a place for worship. Yet that's a double standard because only 9% of Canadians bother to go to a place of worship. So clearly Canadians as a public are saying one thing but doing something quite different. But I found this to be interesting. At the bottom of the list, searching for true faith was, in other words, if asked the question, how do you search for true faith? At the bottom of the list was reading the Bible. Can you believe that? And it was, in fact, not even included because it was so unpopular in the article. Fascinating stuff. You know, the culture of knowledge, with all of our knowledge, with all of our discoveries, with all of our reason, have we outgrown the biblical God? Are we better off today without this pesky Bible than we were with it? What is the good life of neo-man? Well, all you have to do is listen to the news and you hear AIDS, about AIDS. You hear about the other day a young boy was shot to death in Toronto. I'm telling you that life is not better without the Bible. If you look around, life is actually worse with it, without it. And let me explain why I say that. Without the absolute authority of some word, specifically the Word of God, then what you have is chaotic. You have a chaotic mess. You have people rivaling for authority. In other words, in a world and in a society and in a culture where there is no absolute authority, there is only the authority of what you think and what you feel and your opinion, then my friend, the best thing we can do is the guy with the biggest gun or the most money wins. He becomes the authority. That's called relativism. The truth is that at the end of the day, the culture of godlessness or without the Bible has not answered any of the basic questions of existence. It has only aggravated our existence, which is why we say on this program called Faith Factor, we are in a cultural war. Now let me make a few comments about culture. The strength of a culture depends on the character of its individuals, not on its wealth, not on its knowledge, not on its military might, and not on its political prowess, and certainly not on its position or favor with the United Nations. The strength of a culture depends on the character of its individuals. There's no way around it. The strength of a culture comes from, listen carefully, its intolerance of lies and its acceptance of absolute moral truth. The strength of a culture comes from its intolerance of lies and its acceptance of absolute moral truth. Now, if a culture lies, it will die. But if a culture of truth is a culture of truth, it will win. That can best be explained in a book called Acts and the Bible, chapter 5, verses 33 to 38. There was this famous teacher called Galileo. And the Sanhedrin, which were the religious group of the day, were very upset with these Christ followers. And what they said was, we've got to do something about this. These guys are driving us nuts. We've got to get rid of them. Gamaliel stood up and he said, I'm going to tell you, gentlemen, something very important. If this thing is of man, it will fail. But if this thing is of God, it will succeed. So leave it alone. Because if it is of God, you cannot resist it. Now, I'm going to make a statement about where we are in our philosophy, specifically in Canada and in the United States and some of the more fluid moral parts of the United States. Let me make this statement. If our modern lifestyle with God is true and great and better, then we will be able to live through it without any pain or any problems. But if our modern lifestyle without God is lies, we will destroy ourselves. Now, this is a very important thing to remember. Without any authoritative word in a society, the guy with the most money, the guy with the biggest gun, he wins, he becomes the authority. Is that any way to establish a civilized culture? I ask you the question. Is that any way to establish a civilized culture? I think not. When we return, we're going to be talking more about this and the importance of knowing the biblical God, not from the unbeliever. But there are many believers in the church who are actually unbelievers because they have no idea what the nature and the character of the biblical God is. When we return on Faith Factor, the cultural war continues. I'm Rod Henry. Stay there.
Faith Factor will be right back.
The cultural war continues.
Do you like science in the Bible? Do you like archaeology in the Bible? Do you like wrestling with the culture today when it comes to the things of the Bible? If you are a serious Bible student and you like these kinds of issues, then let me briefly tell you about something that we put together for all of the people who get involved with the radio ministry. It's called the Sound Minds audio tape series. And basically what it is, we send you an audio tape every single month automatically. And what happens is on the audio tape, there's the Faith Factor program. There is also Science Rocks, Archaeology and the Bible. And there is the program called Northern Lights, Science and the Bible, which primarily deals with science and the Bible, cosmology and some of the others. Now, if you're a serious Bible student and you enjoy wrestling with these issues, the finest and the latest in discoveries and scientific understanding we have access to, and we just report it to you. We bring it to you and simply report it to you. Don't pretend to be anything we're not. We're just bringing you the latest information. If you like that kind of thing and how it relates to the Bible, then I challenge you to become part of the Sound Minds audio tape series. By the way, the name comes from God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. That's 2 Timothy 1:7. So if you'd like to be a part of this, it's a one-time registration fee. You will receive 12 tapes in the mail. They'll come to you. That's a total of 36 radio programs all about science and archaeology and the Bible, and it'll come over the course of the year. One-time registration subscription fee of $50 for your audio cassettes to come automatically every month. Now, if you'd like to do that, make your checks to and write to Quick Study Radio, P.O. Box 456, Orangeville, Ontario, L9W5G2. That's Quick Study Radio, P.O. Box 456, Orangeville, Ontario, L9W5G2. When you write, remember to send your prayer request. The proceeds, there's not that much left over, but if there is any left over, we use it towards the radio production and the research involved in creating these programs, I assure you. Again, our address is Quick Study Radio, P.O. Box 456, Orangeville, Ontario, L9W5G2. So if you'd like to write and become part of the Sound Minds audio tape series and receive that tape once a month for the next 12 months, each tape containing 3 radio programs for a total of 36 radio programs about archaeology in the Bible, about science in the Bible, about the issues in the Bible, send a one-time gift of $50 to help this radio ministry. We'll put you on the list of Sound Minds. Again, Quick Study Radio, P.O. Box 456, Orangeville, Ontario, L9W5G2.
It's time to take a hard look at culture and reality. The cultural war is on.
Conflict.
The Bible. Bible.
Reality.
Reality.
Conflict.
Faith Factor.
Rod Hembry back with you here on Faith Factor, and the cultural war is on. And a lot of people say, well, you know, what are you trying to do, Rod? Get everybody stirred up? I mean, come on, we're just trying to get along. Well, the problem with just trying to get along is when you get along, you have to define exactly what it is you provide as acceptable to get along. You can't do that if you have a culture that is relative and throws out an absolute authority. Well, on Faith Factor, we're talking about the cultural war. We're going to be talking about the word love. We're going to be talking about how it is defined in the Bible, the book, and why I believe the Bible is the absolute authority, and how we define love in our modern culture today without the Bible. Now, I want to start with the sacred Jewish scripture, which says this in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 3. Proverbs in Latin means words for, or for words, words for living. Proverbs 12:3 says, "A man cannot be established through wickedness, but the righteous cannot be uprooted." Now, what does righteous mean? A lot of people think righteous means some guy standing up with, you know, some kind of robe on or something that's doing weird things with incense. That's not righteousness. Righteousness is simply being right with God. And the Bible says that a man cannot be established through wickedness. However, righteousness keeps him from being uprooted, being right with God, the absolute authority. Now, let me tell you why I believe that God's moral law is the moral authority on which we should be building every government in the earth, every company, every social club, every agreement, every public school system. Let me tell you why. That's a pretty strong statement. You're going to say, Rob, you know, you're into separation of church and state. You're getting on my nerves now. Well, hold on a minute. Let me read you from directly from the Bible, the sacred Christian scripture, the New Testament, Matthew 22, verses 36 through 37. I would like to read you from the Bible. These are the words of Jesus. Here's what he said. I'm going to paraphrase it for you. Jesus Christ said you can define all of the moral law, all of God's law, with one statement. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your strength. And love your neighbor as you love yourself. Close quote. Matthew 22, verse 36. The reason I believe that the Bible is absolute authority is because I can find no better definition of love, no better solid foundation on which to build anything than this. Love the Creator God with all your heart. In other words, recognize there is a designer, there is a creator. Therefore, the neighbor that lives next to you is not an accident. He is not somebody's decision. He was made by God. Therefore, he is an eternal being, especially if he follows Jesus Christ. Understand what I'm saying? So you have to love him as you love yourself, because he's no better than you and you're no better than him. Now, that is a great way to define the moral law. However, in our world today, self-worship, self-destructs, when truth comes in contact with it. And that's what we call the matrix of lies. You see, if I love my neighbor as myself, I have to look out for his best interest. And that does not serve my perceived best interest, which are getting what I want, when I want it, how I want it. Well, see, that's not going to work. So the matrix of self-worship in our society today, a matrix is a word for complication, is that we have pride in ourselves, which is the opposite of truth and love. We define love by the Bible. Let's go back to this again and let's quote from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. What is love? You look up love in the dictionary, the Oxford Dictionary says a feeling. No, it's not. What is love? Here's love according to what the Bible says, the absolute authority I believe. Listen carefully. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrong. Now, let me ask you a question. If you're listening to the sound of my voice on the radio station, not agreeing with me, angry at me, or whatever, because I'm one of these Bible thumpers, let me ask you this. If you're married or have a boyfriend or a girlfriend or have a mother, father, brother, sister, some friend that you're a friend to, what part of this would you not want them to have? Let me read it to you again. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It is not boastful. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. And it keeps no records of wrong. This definition of love, 99.9% of people in today's world who do not believe in the Bible would say, yeah, this is a good definition of love. I like this. Because the moral law inside their mind, which was programmed there by the Creator himself, says, yeah, this actually is love. And yet there are people who say, let's throw this out and make up our own definition of love. I think not. Let me read on here in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 7 and 8. It says, love does not delight in evil, but it rejoices with truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always preserves. Love never fails. I want to tell you something. I was driving down the road the other day here in Orangeville looking at the side of a police cruiser which says to serve and protect. And I thought, well, you know, sometimes when a police officer's not where I need him to be, if somebody's in trouble or a bank's being robbed, it might fail me for a few minutes. But love, real love, never fails. It always protects and it always trusts and it always hopes and it always preserves. Now, if we could build our relationships on just these several verses, 4 through 8, our relationships would be very different, very different. So you know what? Let me ask you this question. You say, Rob, we don't need the Bible. We don't need any app. Okay, well, where are you going to find love like this? Where are you going to find truth like this? You're going to find it in politics? How about university? How about your professors? Your professors never fail. They always look out for your interest instead of theirs. You really believe that? How about this? You're going to find it in relationships without God? How about those prenuptial agreements, which really are, if you do this to me, I'll do this to you, marriage contracts? You're going to find this kind of love in yourself? Most of us who are honest to ourselves say, you know, we can't conjure up this kind of love in the best of our minds. You're going to find this kind of love that's never selfish in your boss, in your career? My friends, only in your dreams. This kind of love comes not from our mind, not from this world, but this kind of love comes from Jesus Christ, Lord of Lords and King of Kings. We must have a healing of the mind if we are going to be able to resolve the issues in our lives. That means accepting Jesus Christ for who he is and what he said. There's no way around it. And if secular culture removes the biblical definition of love, then how is love defined, I ask you? By feeling? So I had pizza the night before and I don't feel good, so love level's low. If secular culture removes the biblical truth from the truth of how love is defined, what are we going to do? Run around feeling love? I think not. Now, this is the haunting reality of a tolerant culture. It accepts lies. We've rendered ourselves powerless when it comes to finding the truth about real love. Our world is a world of confusion and frustration and devastation of the human soul. A world of plain pain gnawing at our daily existence and hiding our real purpose from us. The answer to our pain and our problems, we are told by the finest political, social, secular engineers and education, is to tolerate lies. I think not. I think not. Let me tell you. One cannot be sick and well at the same time. You're either sick or you're well. We are either sick or we're well. We can't have it both ways. And the social engineers tell us to be tolerant because they have no other answer. But the truth is, we are sick with sin. Our society is sick with sin. And that's the truth. And that's why God's love is so important. That's why the Bible says in John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not die, but have everlasting life. I leave that with you today, right here on Faith Factor. You accept Jesus Christ for who he is, or you don't accept him at all. The consequences are you get to define love if you don't accept him. But if you do accept him for who he is, Lord of Lords, King of Kings, and Savior of your life, then he comes into your mind, he heals it, and you are able to love your neighbors, your wife, your husband, your daughter, your son, like God wants you to in the true definition of love. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray that in the sound of my voice, if there's anybody listening who is depressed, lonely, discouraged, feeling guilty, they don't have to feel that way. I pray that you would free them as they say your name out loud in the car, wherever they're at right now. Say, Jesus Christ, I need you. Come into their life and heal them. In your name I ask this. Amen. If you'd like an audio cassette program of this particular radio program, an audio cassette copy, you can write to us, ask for Faith Factor number 5, offer FF5, Faith Factor number 5, send $5 or more to Quick Study Radio, P.O. Box 456, Orangeville, Ontario, L9W5G2. That's Quick Study Radio, P.O. Box 456, Orangeville, Ontario, L9W5G2. See you next time on Faith Factor. Faith Factor is brought to you by Quick Study Television and www.thestreamtv.com. That's www.thestreamtv.com.